Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round two recap for this week's Zurich Classic, a team event. And my teammate for this evening, right there, Kyle Porter, KP. How's it going?
Yeah, alternate shot. I've got a bunch of different things going on right now. Are you more into the NBA playoffs or the NFL draft?
I'm more into the NBA playoffs.
Your boy Embiid.
50 burger. It's pretty sick.
I saw the highlights this morning. When did he start shooting threes?
He started shooting them a while ago. He started making them recently.
I mean, when somebody is 7'2" shooting through, Wembanyama shoots him. All the big guys shoot him now, but what are you supposed to do?
That's the thing. And you just have to, even if you're going to miss them, you've got to shoot them so that now they have to defend that. So that when you go up with it, that guy's got to take like a step out and then he just drives past him. The same thing.
Yeah. I saw somebody closed out on Embiid at the top of the 3-point line. It might've been Brunson or I don't know very many Knicks players, but he was like standing on his tiptoes with his hands as high as he could go. And Embiid just like, it wasn't like the ball like went over him. It was like his whole upper body was over him. Like he couldn't even block. Like the only thing he could do was foul. And he didn't. He was just straight up and down, and Embiid just buried it. It's crazy.
I love when they do the thing that like your dad did when you were 6 years old, which is just yeah. hold it here and I'm jumping. I'm swatting at it. I can't get it. There's no way I could ever reach it. And it's just, I'm just going to hold it over here.
Real quick before we get to the tournament, speaking of dad and son moments, I just sent out a normal sport newsletter on Friday, and I wrote this in there, but took my kids to play a par 3 course, kind of a short course, which you probably have some by your house, but a fun little, it's like $5. You can play as many holes as you want.
Cool.
Kind of 30 to 50 yard hole. Really a pitch and putt for like adults. For kids, it's, you know, my kids are 10, my boys are 10 and 7. So I told him, if anybody makes a 2 today, you get slushies.
Ah.
Okay. Or ice cream, whatever, you know, they kind of had some options. And so they're getting frustrated because, I mean, it's hard. I told him, I was like, it's hard for me to make a 2 out here, much less you guys who are.
How often do you get up and down from 30 yards? I don't.
Well, yeah. And a lot of the shots were like 50 or 60. And so it's just very difficult. So my son finally hits one to my 10-year-old finally hits one to 15 feet on like a kind of a 50-yard hole. It was a really good shot. And he lines up the putt, hits it, great speed, right in the middle. He starts walking it in, throws his putter down, like slams his putter down. And it comes up like one revolution short. And he's just, both of them are, well, the 7-year-old's almost in tears.
Oh, right, because this impacts him as well.
Totally. And the 10-year-old is just like, It was like Scottie Scheffler's face on 18 at TPC Sawgrass, where he was like,
oh man, that's funny.
And so they're just losing it. I'm dying laughing because it's the funniest thing ever. And then the next hole, he hits it to 8 feet and makes that for a two.
There you go. A little rebound.
It was awesome. I was so proud of him because he could have just, I mean, it was a tough ending to what was going to be a cool moment. So he rebounded and we went and got some treats afterwards. So yeah, it was a fun day.
Slushies, ice cream, or both? Well, what was the?
Well, we actually went. They taught me into going. So Dude Perfect has partnered with Smoothie King.
Sure.
Neither is an affiliate of this podcast, though we would love for either to be.
We're available.
And so we went and got smoothies.
Okay.
I love it. It's great.
All right. Love it. Well, listen, they are finishing up down in New Orleans, and this is tight, KP. I'm scrolling through this leaderboard. -8 has held as the cut line for a very, very long time. There are currently 32 teams at 9 under or better. I'm looking through who's still out on the golf course. I think we're probably going to stay at 8 under. But even if it does, we're going to have every team that makes the cut within 5 shots of the lead. So 33 teams within 5 shots, and they all have to play best ball and alternate shot one more time.
Well, it's a great point because, I mean, best ball is so volatile. Like the scores yesterday were, 61 to what was the lowest? Like 70 something?
A team shot a 71 yesterday.
So 61 to 71. I mean, you could just be anywhere in there. Now, the problem for the teams that are 5 back is you're 5 back of Rory and Shane Lowry, right? And where did Cantlay and Xander ended up at 12?
Yep. They made bogey on the last.
Bogey the last. Mm-hmm. So you're 4 back of the, but you could go shoot 59, 58 and make up that ground.
All right. Well, let's get to the top of the board here. Some of the morning wave guys as well. I'll kind of flip all over the place here. There are 4 teams at 13 under par. Aaron Rye, David Lipsky, Ryan Brem, Mark Hubbard. Let's start there, KP. They both shot 61s in best ball on Thursday. They both shot 70 in alternate shot on Friday. I asked Patrick McDonald last night, what is the staying power of these two teams? And I'm going to ask you tonight, what is the staying power of these two teams?
It's tough, right? Because you look at the names and you're like, I don't know. But this is such a different and unique format where you like anything can happen, right? Like they could theoretically both shoot like 72 tomorrow, but it could be a team 62. So I'm hesitant, more hesitant than I would be to sort of, especially after playing well, both of them on Friday in alternate shot. Cause that's where, like, if one guy's playing bad, you're just in so much trouble, you know? And so both of them having played decently, I don't know, what was the lowest score in alternate shot, like 68 or something?
It was a 67, courtesy of Cantlay and Xander.
Okay. They're so good at that form. And they bogeyed the last. So I think today's like the harder day to get through. And so I think now the staying power for both of these teams is pretty decent, right? Like I would have, if I'm Patrick, I would have answered that very differently than how I'm answering it.
Yeah. Yes. And you're correct. I think they're at least going to be, you know, conceivably it would take a lot for them to probably play themselves out of it in best ball. Things would have to go pretty sideways for both players and on both teams. So they will be likely near the top of the leaderboard on Sunday. And then they'll have to do the difficult thing again, but I think they've got at least another 18 holes of being in the mix.
Yeah. And then you get to Sunday and it's like, well, you're in it on Sunday and
anything.
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly right. McIlroy, Rory, Lowry, Shane went out this morning. I don't know why I did it like that. They followed up a Thursday 61 with a Friday 70. Birdies on 11 and 13. They started on the back nine along with 7 and 8. They made two bogeys. It was an okay round, KP. We saw a little bit of those putting struggles from Shane Lowry that we've seen in recent weeks kind of hold this team back from going any lower, but they survived and they advanced, which I think is what you want to do here in alternate shot.
Yeah, he talked about this on, I think it was 18. He missed a kind of a short one and maybe two, the par five. I mean, they should... I'm sure they're frustrated that they're not taking care of all the par fives, right? With Rory's length, either off the tee or on approach shots. I think Lowry, it was super interesting. I saw some of them. I was kind of watching off and on throughout the day, and Lowry was talking afterwards about how, like, it's really hard not to sort of get down on yourself because you're letting down somebody else, right? And we hear guys talk about this all the time at team events. It's just so different to hear it in a PGA Tour event. I saw Matt Fitzpatrick miss a really, really short putt, and his brother has to come in and clean it up. I saw Zalatoris kind of flub this weird lie in the woods that Sahith had pulled off the tee, and then Sahith has to hit a ball off a cart. I mean, there's just, it's such a unique dynamic what your partner has done. And I think that Lowry and Rory are just, they're well suited for it because they're really, really good friends, good buddies. And they don't, there can be an awkwardness, right? If you haven't played together before. So I do think familiarity in this event for the most part, especially if you're playing decently well, is such an advantage.
Yeah. It's a little weird when you've just met for the first time this week and you probably talk for a while, and yeah, it's a little bit different, but very few as familiar as the Fitzpatricks, who went out and shot a 68, which was the second best round of the day. And KP, you mentioned it, not only so if we're talking about the same hole here, number one, they started on the back nine, so this was their 10th hole of the day. They four putted from 12 feet.
Which hole was that?
It was their 10th hole, number one.
Okay.
Six they made. So Fitzpatrick, so it was like a 12 footer. Then Fitzpatrick missed like a 3 footer. Alex then with the comebacker missed like the same 3 footer. And then Matt popped it in. So this could have been obviously a lot better than the 68, but it still moves them up 25 spots on the leaderboard, and they will be 3 shots off the lead.
So yeah, that honestly, like, it should have been a 66.
Easily.
Like Matt Fitzpatrick should not have missed that putt.
I mean, if they two putt from 12 feet, which is like, that's what you do.
That has to be like a 98% rate.
Yes. Right. Exactly. And then let alone two more after that.
Yeah. That's crazy. So that was kind of interesting to watch. Where are they at? They're
three back.
19. Okay. So yeah, I mean, they shot 66 on Thursday, which sounds good, right? Like you say, oh, you shot 66, but just in this format, you have to be low 60s off the bat or you're playing catch up all weekend.
You are. Now, the guys in the afternoon got after it, including our past champions, Xander and Cantlay. We'll talk about them and a couple other teams that are in the mix for this week. And then, unfortunately, we got to talk about some notables that will not be around for the weekend. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back. KP, the team that I'm rooting for, the team that I'm most heavily invested in, the Davis Thompson, Andrew Novak team, shot a 3-under 69, and they are tied for the lead going into the weekend. I am worried about Rory lurking. I'm worried about Cantlay and Xander lurking. I would cash out now if I had the option, but I like the way that these two are going. But it's probably unlikely they win this.
This was pre-tournament invested in?
Oh, yeah. 50-1.
Wow.
Come on, baby.
What was the reason?
These are just both my guys, right? I mean, they're both like Novak's. They're both just tee to green crushers. They both live in the same place. If you get like two top 60 players in a format like this, you have a chance. And I just play these guys every single week, bet them all the time. And now they got together.
How old is Davis Thompson? He looks like he's 16.
I would guess he is 25, but I'll look it up.
Okay. He kind of famously held the first round lead at the US Open at Winged Foot for a little while.
24.
Okay. What's his ceiling?
Oh. He was like the number one amateur in the world at one point, wasn't he?
Maybe. Maybe. The number one amateur in the world list, not to get off track, but it's super interesting.
Are you going to pull it up?
Yeah, I'll pull it up.
Yes, he was the number one player in the world twice, actually. November 2020 and March 2021. His ceiling is the 33rd best player in the world.
So like JT Poston.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. JT Poston's had a great career.
Very good career. Men's world number one amateurs. I'll just start reading off the top. Kita Nakajima, okay, hasn't done a ton, but he's young. Cantlay, Neiman, Ollie Schneider-Johns, Mav, Rahm, Danny Lee, Justin Suh, Fowler, Nick Taylor, Peter Uihlein, Mateo Manassero, Patrick Rogers, Braden Thornberry, Ludwig, Gordon Sargent, Danny Willett, Matt Fitzpatrick, Victor Hovland, Cole Hammer. I wonder what Cole Hammer's doing.
Are you reading? Is this in some type of order? What order is this in?
It's order of weeks, consecutive weeks that they were.
I was like, you went from like Ludwig to Willett. I'm like, what in the world? It's not
Colt Nost.
It's not chronological. Colt Nost.
Spieth, Doug Gim. Jamie Laudmire, Rory. It's a fun list.
You got guys who are like crushers, and then you get guys who never made it. It's like, I wonder if you also compared the list of like number one picks in Major League Baseball draft and how many become busts and how many become like superstars.
There was a video that I watched on YouTube a couple of weeks ago. I need to find it and send it to you because it went through the last 10 number one picks in the baseball draft. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting because one of them was Garrett Cole. Or he was like a top two pick.
Number one in 2011.
There you go. But then some of them were like, this guy doesn't play baseball anymore.
Dude.
And hasn't for 6 years.
All right. So here's like my prime. Okay. So from 2000, Adrian Gonzalez. Awesome. Joe Mauer. Right. Awesome.
Hall of Famer.
Brian Bullington.
Don't remember him.
I've never
next year was, heard that. I think the next year was Josh Johnson or Josh Beckett.
Not yet. Delman Young. Remember him for the Devil Rays? Yeah. He was good, but like it was never. Matt Bush. Remember him? He had like.
Shortstop. Padres.
Yes, and he had like, I think he had like crime. I think he might have had drug issues. I don't even know if he played in the majors. Justin Upton, okay, turned out to be a great. Luke Hochaver?
Pitcher? I think he put for, was Josh Beckett not a number one pick?
I don't see him on my list.
Huh.
But then you get a pretty decent run of like David Price, Tim Beckham, Steven Strasburg, although Bryce Harper, Garrett Cole. Mark Appel, remember him? From Stanford. Pitcher was supposed to be like the next like Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor. Yeah. And then he
was in that video. It was fast. Like, because you can, I always love the Sports Illustrated, like, where are they now? It's just, I mean, I like it in any sport, but it's just, I think it's probably more, in basketball and football, like the number one pick usually just sort of works out, right? Because it's easier to measure, especially in football. It's easy to measure like this guy's massive or he's fast or whatever, and you can measure it. And in baseball, you're like, I don't know, he hit pretty good in the ACC, but we'll see. I don't know.
And like, we'll know maybe in 4 or 5 years, as opposed right. to other sports where it's like, well, you're starting in 2 months. You're starting. So good luck. Oof. Well, two guys that would definitely start on any team event draft roster, something would be Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, who followed up their dirty little 65 on Thursday with a nasty 67 on Friday, an alternate shot. It's the round of the day. These two are just, you know, they didn't even play all that well yesterday. And the ability to do this is that's really the key and why they've been so successful.
Totally. How much of that do you think is due to the experience of Ryder Cups and President's Cups?
I would think a lot.
And how much of it is just that they're like really good at golf?
I would think a lot.
That's helpful.
No, I think that, and I think Greg said this to me at some point this week. He was like, because I was touting like, oh, well, they've got, you know, Ryder Cup experience, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, well, the best players get to the Ryder Cup. I'm like, yeah, for sure. They do. So I get what he's saying, but I think it's three things. I think it's they're good, they have experience in this format, and they're good buddies off the golf course. And it's very easy to not worry about putting your guy in a bad spot or apologizing or anything like that. They're just going to work together and figure out the next shot.
Yeah. It was stunning that they bogeyed the last because they had a chance to move into the lead.
Yeah. And 18's a par five that you should be able to get. And they could have got to 14 under. Instead, they dropped back to 12 under. They're one shot off the lead, but they are, I'll spoil it. They're not the favorites. I was going to say, I'm sure they're the favorites. They're not the favorites to win this.
Rory and Lowry.
Yeah. So before we get to that real quick, I'm waiting to see this cut is like still pretty juicy, but we will definitely not see Sahith and Will Zalatoris. We will definitely not see the Cooties. We will definitely not see Billy Horschel and Tyson Alexander. If it goes to 9 under, we will lose Morikawa and Kitayama, which would be interesting as well. So I guess the biggest surprise, and we won't see Hoagie or McNealy either. They're like the fifth shortest odds to win this thing.
Interesting. Yeah, Sahith and Zalatoris, that's disappointing. Those are two really good players, really good from tee to green. And they've not been good.
They made a double on 4, bogeys on 14, 15, 17. They were one over in alternate shot after shooting a 65 on Thursday. So
it's just, it's so different, right? It's weird. It's just, yeah. And those are two guys that, you know, maybe Sahith played this event last year, but they haven't really been on President's Cup, Ryder Cup teams. They're just not accustomed to it as much.
I mean, there is a chance, and I joked about this earlier in the week, that somebody was going to be on 59 watch and then miss the cut. But there is, let's see, MJ Duffy and Cam Champ shot a 62 on Thursday. And they shot a 76 and will miss the cut.
It's crazy.
Can't have a
bad shot, baby. It's the path to victory.
The path to victory. Josh, show us the odds to said path to victory. Oh my goodness, the men in black. Shane Lowry, Rory McIlroy are the favorites. They've got a one-shot lead over that next team on the list, Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay. So Lowry and Rory plus 270, Xander and Cantlay plus 360, Novak and Thompson 9-1, Taylor and Hadwin, the Canadians, didn't mention them, 11-1, and then everybody else is longer than that. So a couple of big boys up here and a couple of teams that are trying to play spoiler.
I think Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin are interesting at 11. Taylor King, I mean, he's I think Taylor's a really good player. And Hadwin can get super hot. I think they're intriguing at 11 to 1 with where they're at. I mean, it's gonna be hard to beat. It'd be different if you only had to beat one of those teams at the top. To beat both of them is gonna be very difficult, but I like that number for the Canadians.
Yeah, no, I think that's about right. And they've got, Nick Taylor does not back down. Adam Hadwin has the ability to get hot. They're obviously very comfortable with one another. It's pretty good.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say my allegiances are still with the Novak Thompson group, but
I figured that's what you're going to say. I think Nick Taylor, you can make a case that Nick Taylor is the most underrated player in the world. I don't know if I would make that case, but I think you could.
I would listen to it. I would definitely listen to it because he gets in events. He wins events. He plays well in big time events. Yeah, I'm in on that. And he's someone that if you started listing, hey, tell me the top 40 players in the world, you'd get very little Nick Taylors.
Yeah. The Canadian JT Poston, but better.
If my math is right, and I'm trying to do this while hosting the show, so that would be there. Oh no, somebody just dropped out. So 31 teams are now at nine. Okay, so that's good for the eight unders. There was a moment where Berger and Perez could have birdied 18 and moved the cut, but now they need two teams to move it. So the eights might hold, and Morikawa and everybody might find themselves into the weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, KP?
That's it. I just sent you the number one picks video.
Thank
the,
you.
The 10-year-old putting video. So you've got some goodies waiting for you when you're done.
I've got some consumables on my desk. I will run through those. And we will be back on Saturday and Sunday to see how this thing ends. But for now, big thanks to producer Josh for all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, Kyle Porter. You can find him at Kyle Porter CBS, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.